Hey, this is Rob Weiss.
This is Sean Chase.
And I'm O'Neal McKnight.
Crazy times make crazy people, and we are proof of that.
Join us weekly as we talk all things headlines, pop culture, and how to navigate this crazy life alongside some of today's most interesting and influential guests.
Hey, what's up? This is Dane Cook.
What's up, guys? This is Matthew Espinosa.
This is Mark Douglas.
And this is Eric Griffin.
Yo, it's Russell Simmons. Check me out on The Cray.
Subscribe to our podcast, The Cray, on Podcast One, Spotify, and Apple, and wherever else you get your pods.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about what happens when kids go into a psychiatric hospital and how that works. And we're going to do a bit of Love Boat here, everybody. It's a musical Love Boat. And the confusion Gary has around who Ethel Merman actually is, and we'll dive deep on Ann Miller. That's you'll be entertained, I promise.
First, I'll tell you about Podcast One Live by Live. Best podcasts, including this one. The latest news, curated music stations, and playlists. Live by Live has all the entertainment. It's all covered for just $3.99 a month. Live by Live has the biggest live stream events, too. Coming up on October 30th, you can watch iHeart Country Music Festival streaming exclusively on Live by Live. Go to livexlive.com/Adam and Drew. Get all this and more when you sign up for your free 7-day trial.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on the chest. We're going to get it on. Dr. Drew's board. He makes a hell of a BLT there.
I do, man.
Sandwich for you. Okay, right now? Yeah.
Right now?
All right, let's talk about calls. We got the Love Boat. We were watching the musical version of the Love Boat. It's a extended 2-hour dance version of the Love Boat.
It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen in my life. It was so weird.
It was weird, but you know, the fun thing to do. It's sort of like a drinking game, but it's Wikipedia.
Yeah.
You know, you look at these old stars, and then you hop on the internet and find out when they died and
where their
dads were sharecroppers.
And yes.
Blah, blah, blah.
They worked on the circus.
One of them, I looked up Ann Miller, who was this tap dancing, song and dance.
Yes.
But back then, it was a lot of like just sort of pageantry. You know what I mean? Like Ann Miller, was she a good singer? No, not really.
No.
Like, was she a good dancer? It's okay, you know, but what was it? Well, she was a star.
Showmanship.
You know what I mean? She'd show up, you know. Was sort everything was really, if you think about
all affectation.
Yeah, but here's an interesting concept, Drew.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Because you saw all the dance numbers. And the dance numbers were carry over from the 50s, the 40s, the 60s, whatever.
Yeah.
When there's dance numbers now, the person, and you know, maybe we tribute Michael Jackson to this or something, but the person that's doing the dancing, who is also the star, is doing the dancing. Back then, it was a dance number, but the star wasn't really doing the dancing. They were just going, hey, look at me. And then everyone is dancing their ass off around them.
Yes.
And they were just kind of preening. They're sort of peacocking, you know. And at some point, they'd put their arms out and they'd remove a robe or something
them.
It was really just, hey, revolve around me. It wasn't like I'm doing this with you. Like you can see Britney Spears doing stuff, but she's dancing with the dancers.
Yes, they're all doing the same thing oftentimes.
Right.
But it's interesting. That's the conceit of the Masked Singer.
Right.
If you look at what they do, they choreograph around the singer and make it look like.
I understand,
but it was a weird thing to be a part of. They have choreography, and you're a part of it, but it's around you.
And I get it, but you're wearing something that does not allow you to do it. But and then the thing that was always kind of funny about it is you're surrounded by the bevy of professional dancers, right? And they're spinning and pirouettes and jumping off tables and whatever. And you're just kind of mincing.
At most, you would tap dance.
You're kind of walking in place, you know what I mean, with good posture. You know, your shoulders pulled back. And you're like walking in place. And then at some point, it comes time for you to do your thing.
Yeah.
And you do a really shitty version of what everyone else is doing. Like, you know,
right.
You picture kind of George Burns, you know,
yeah.
Like
soft shoe.
And then the professionals like go it's sort of like
it's weird.
It'd be the equivalent of everyone around you is a professional juggler and they're bowling pins and chainsaws, and at some point someone hands you two tennis balls,
yes.
And you go, hey, ha! It's like, why is this impressive?
Yes, why even bother?
Why even bother? Right. You look like a rank amateur, yes, compared to the guy with the chainsaw.
Yeah, yeah. Oh my God, so true.
All right, so
I don't know,
Gary,
what that was. Maybe Vegas did that or something? Who knows?
I wanted to drill down because two things. First off, one of the things Drew and I always talk about is, back then, you could get old.
Yeah.
You were
old at 50.
You were old at 50.
Yeah.
You were old.
You were,
and then
to
when
do
you were,
things.
You know, Ethel Merman and you were 72, you're wearing a shawl.
and a giant brocade brooch.
Right, right. I mean, it's like, you were old. You were allowed to get old. Now, you watch.
This is Whistler's mother's outfit.
Yeah. She's like. The famous painting with the farmer and the pitchfork.
Yes, the American Gothic.
She's the wife in American Gothic.
100%.
All right. You turn on Real Housewives of Orange County. It's a bunch of 61-year-old women with jet black hair and work done and looking like their daughters,
yes,
right?
Yes.
This is not that. You could get old. But the thing, and Gary and—
I'm going to ask you a provocative question about that.
And Matt, I'm curious— Ethel Merman, Gary doesn't know who Ethel Merman is. What kind of fucking American are you?
She's 80.
You're from Orange County.
And I'm not born for 12 years.
Don't hide behind ageism. The cotton gin. What?
I walked up. You said, I know who Ethel Merman is.
Cotton gin when you take gin and soak it up with cotton?
You also picked an episode that has seven women in their 60s.
All right.
How old is Ethel Merman in this episode from 1981, in your estimation, yeah, Gary, 82. Matt?
82. When was she born?
All right. Quiet. All right. The episode's from 1981. You say 82 years of age.
No.
Gary.
From 1982.
Oh, sorry. 82. How old do you think
she is? Look at your picture. How old do you think she is?
I previously said 80, and I think I'll stick with that.
Okay. 80.
Matt.
I mean, I understand that there is a difference in the way that we looked based on the time. So I'm going to go ahead and say, like, she probably looks like 65, even though she looks 85.
So okay.
Don't
overthink it. Just say, how old
does she look?
She looks 85.
Okay.
Okay.
By today's standards.
Yeah. Well, because Nancy Pelosi has jet black hair and not too many wrinkles. She's right. 81 years old. You know, that's who we're dealing with.
Yeah.
All right. This episode aired in 82. Maybe it was shot in 81 or 82, but 82. All right. Listen to the dialogue of the 75-year-old woman with the 75-year-old man.
It is you, isn't it, Roz?
Yes, it's me.
Of course, those same twinkling eyes, they haven't changed.
And they're about the only things I have that haven't. It's been a long time, Victor.
June 1953.
All right, pause it there. June 1953. This is 1982.
Mm-hmm.
That's 29 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
Keep it rolling. They're going to talk about how they were young, fresh-faced kids.
You remember?
How could I forget?
For someone who left me waiting at the train station with my bags packed, I should think that forgetting would come easy.
Roz, I've dreamed about this day when we'd finally meet. And I had all sorts of wonderful speeches prepared. Witty, sensational, sincere. And all I can say now is that I was a foolish young man who thought that an acting career was the single most important thing in my life.
It was a foolish young 44-year-old. I stepped on it. Just roll it back 10 seconds and get off your phone, Drew.
I'm calculating his age. Oh, you're going to be shocked.
And all I can say now is that I was a foolish young man who thought that an acting career was the single most important thing in my whole life.
And I was a foolish young girl who thought she'd never live through another day.
All right. Now, she was a foolish young girl. He left her at the train station. When you hear foolish young girl who was left by her lover at a train station so that he could pursue the bright lights of Hollywood, that girl's age range is 17 and a half to 24.
Yeah.
Not 41.
Yes.
Like, I don't know how they did the math. I was watching this going, she's 71 in this thing, maybe 72. I mean, she looks 85.
She's 74.
She's 74. 74.
She's 74. Yeah. You're going to deduct 29 years from that. Is that 45?
Yeah, I think when I did the math, I came up with 41. You're doing it.
I'm going the other direction.
But whatever, early 40s.
It's early 40s. It's not 29.
Yeah.
That's just 16. Weird.
She's in her 40s at the train
station. And why isn't Gopher pissed at him?
And he's pursuing.
By the way, Gopher would have been 10.
Gopher should have been more.
Yeah, he would have been 10.
Wait, who sired Gopher? Because that's Gopher's mom.
He would be 10 by that estimation. He would have been 10 when Van Johnson took off.
I just stopped there. He's like, I was a foolish young girl. I was a young boy with dreams in his heart. They're in their 40s.
He's 8 years younger than she is.
I know he's younger than she is, but it's crazy, right?
It's crazy. They just don't pay. They didn't pay any attention
at the train station.
Nothing.
Well, but Matt, they stopped. They went. Now listen, they could have went all those years ago. You left me at the train station. They went June 1953
mm-hmm.
or 43 or whatever, yeah. whatever it was. Right. The point is they. They gave a number.
Yes.
They could have said all those back then. Oh, it was a lifetime ago.
Yeah, I could imagine them at the writer's table. This is what I'm thinking happened. I'm thinking, if we say 30 years, the war is on that. How do we explain that? And then he goes, oh, let's make it 32. Ethel Merman, you're not going to do that. I'm not that old.
Right. You know
what I mean? She wouldn't stand for it.
That's what I was thinking about.
That's right. She wouldn't stand for it.
Right.
So.
All right. But you're right. I never thought about Gopher. Gopher's a man in his mid to late 30s at this point. Where was he?
Right.
Who was her husband?
Uh-huh.
She have a gopher out of wedlock?
And there was a whole husband story with Ethel Merman, I remember we watched at some point.
Yeah.
Right? Where she was a little too jolly in his demise or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Whatever. It's all bizarre. Everything. It's just so I don't know why you don't get angrier at it, that people were making money off of writing that dog shit.
Yeah, I'm amused by it. That's why. You can, Gary, you can probably scrub forward and find Ethel Merman singing, and if you would like to be more confused.
Do you know why Ethel Merman was famous, Gary? Do you have any sense of who she was or anything?
I'm very familiar with the name, but no. I associate her with Lucy.
No.
I don't know.
So that's Ethel Mertz.
I don't know.
Come on,
so
Gary.
Good. It's so
that's
good.
The neighbor. This Americana. It's Americana.
So
it's Americana.
You're confusing.
That's not my Americana.
Okay. So Ethel Merman was a famous Cole Porter Broadway star in the 20s and 30s. Who then became famous for Annie Get Your Gun, was it? There's no
business like show business.
That was her thing. And then she transitioned as an older woman to the Battle Axe. She became the Battle Axe in Mad World.
Right. Great movie.
Yeah. And so she became sort of the Battle Axe.
Can you say Battle Axe anymore?
That's what she was known for. How would you say it?
Is there a modern day Battle Axe?
No.
Gary, do you know who?
Because the modern day Battle Axe has plastic surgery and fake breasts.
Right.
I want to propose something. The one thing that they let go of, that we don't let go of now, is sex and sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
That's what people are hanging on to, is sex appeal and sexual performance, really.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That was not something that crossed their mind.
Well, they would have – love would be found. Love would be found, but it wasn't physical love.
No.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was also a fantasy left over from when I saw Wave to You when you take off with the troops in World War II.
Right. you can see her singing. And
this is a two-part episode. Are you sure it's in this first part?
Yeah, it is.
I think she's
I did not deign to watch the second part.
Oh,
I couldn't do
Drew,
it. I couldn't
you do let it. Me down.
I couldn't do it.
Mm.
What happened in the second part?
Gary, do you know who the pop singer Tiffany is?
Yeah, she had that. That was right towards the beginning of my life. She was like the mall superstar.
Checking your references.
Yeah.
That's all.
That one creeps in, but it's early.
So you know Tiffany, but you don't know the great Ethel Merman. Interesting.
Hey, I literally had a conversation with 30-year-olds a couple days ago where the name Johnny Carson had zero meaning to them.
I know.
Like, do you have any idea? No. I don't. Their response was, I don't have a TV. That was their response.
Let me drill down on it.
Yes, you do. It's in your pocket.
Let me drill down on it a little deeper. It is – well, let's hear Ethel sing first.
Oh, God.
And point me toward tomorrow.
She's wearing a gown.
We did what we had.
Thing was sort of yelling. That was sort of her thing. Yelling songs.
Regret. Can't forget what I did.
The kids were looking for in 1982.
Yeah, exactly. What's interesting to me is she sounded just like that when she was like singing in the 30s, Cole Porter stuff. That's the exact way she sounded. She was known for sort of yelling things.
Yeah.
And that's the battle axe thing figured into that prominently because in the Mad, Mad, Mad World, she yells the whole time.
Right.
Just screams the whole time.
Was Cole Porter in this thing or was that Duke Ellington?
Cab Calloway.
Oh, Cab Calloway. Cab Calloway. Damn it. Black simile.
Yeah, but Cab Calloway, he's going to have – I'm predicting he's going to have a resurgence of some type. He never got the status he should have achieved. I mean, when you look back at some of his stuff, it's amazing.
Cab Calloway, did he wear the captain's hat or is that Duke Ellington?
Cab Calloway was known more for like tails, wearing formal coats and stuff.
Somebody ended up in a skipper's hat.
I'm
trying to think of if that was Cab Calloway.
Somebody did end up
Duke
a skipper's
Ellington.
Hat.
He appears to have a signature cap, but it's not a skipper's cap.
What is it?
Show it to us.
Let's see it. Yeah, he was.
That's Cab Calloway. He was really dressed up. Yeah, that's Cab.
This would have been in the 70s.
God, you know, he was in the Blues Brothers.
Yeah.
And I ran into that the other day and I thought, God, those guys appreciated him, Aykroyd and Belushi. The world does not quite get it yet, how important he was.
Agreed.
I really think so.
All right. Let me tell you about Roman. Squeaky doors, clogged sinks, finicky engines. Well, if something breaks, you fix it. But what about when something's off in the bedroom? Well, you try not to think about it, right? Go to GetRoman.com/ADS now for your free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED from the comfort and privacy of your own home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it's sent to you free. Free two-day shipping, by the way. It'll be sent right to you with free two-day shipping. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/ADS and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving your home with Roman. Right, Matt?
Go to GetRoman.com/ADS now, and you'll get $15 off your first month. It's really time to take care of your ED. And remember, get started today, and you'll save $15 on your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/ADS.
So overwhelmed.
Are we looking at Cab Calloway?
You're looking at Count Basie.
Count Basie did it.
God damn it with the captain's hat.
Yeah, Count Basie did it.
Count Basie, a lot of captain's hats. All right, we'll take a quick break. Be back with your calls right after this. All right, Drew. So Count Basie was the one with the captain's hat, not Cab Calloway. Although, alphabetically, I was Count Cab Calloway Basie. I was only off by really one letter alphabetically.
I hope all that
those figures come forward as important as they were to the rock and roll music.
Count and Cab.
Yeah.
Those are names.
Cab Calloway. Heidi, heidi, ho. Oh, yeah. It was so good.
Yeah.
And these were band leaders. These were musicians. And they'd grab a trombone and start playing it. And dancer. I mean, they did. They were amazing. Anyway, I can't. I'm sort of excited that we're having this conversation because I just have so much enthusiasm for that period of music and the men that did
but
that.
What about DJ Khaled? You know, when he points to the ceiling.
Yeah.
Or Steve Aoki when he like presses play and then throws pie or cake at the audience. Don't you think that there's some musicality to throwing pastries?
I think so. Must be
at people.
Must be. With some lights going on behind him, maybe.
We do have to hit play. And that's a thing, right?
Seems to be.
Not everyone can do it.
Oh, I'm overwhelmed by this particular love. But what happens in the second episode, by the way? Because I don't think I'm going to see it.
Della Reese, large woman of color.
Yes.
Ann Miller. Ann Miller was great. So she was the song, dance, whatever. But the thing that was interesting, when you look at her wiki page, it's like first husband, blah, 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 thrown down a set of stairs while 8 months pregnant. The baby was born prematurely and lasted 3 hours. Thrown down a set of stairs.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that back then.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure whoever threw her down a set of stairs, you want to talk about Me Too or being canceled, whoever she's married to who throws her down a set of stairs when she's 8.5 months pregnant or 8 months or whatever it is, I'll bet you that person was never prosecuted.
I guarantee it. I think it's gone with the wind.
Baby's just born.
Yeah.
Boom. Dead. Fine. It was a different time.
So
you got to look into that, Gary. Ann Miller was thrown down a set of stairs when she was pregnant, you know, very far along. Baby lasted 3 hours.
Yeah, I looked this up last week. Your recollection's solid.
Right. But was there any prosecution? Oh, was I talking about you with this last week?
I don't think so.
Or who was I talking to if I wasn't talking? I was talking about on ACS, I think. But was I talking to Drew about it?
No. You might have been talking to Adam Ray about it, who guest hosted for Drew.
No.
It wasn't ACS because I was sitting in this chair.
I don't remember this conversation. I think I remember
this. This is a weird one then, Gary, because this episode aired a few weeks after Adam Wright sat
in. That's true.
So I wouldn't have been on my
Ann
Miller.
Maybe it was Mark.
Yeah, it sounds like a Garagos conversation in a weird way.
I don't remember. Now, that's weird. I remember bringing it up on ACS. Mm. Gary remembers looking it up.
It's not outside the realm that you brought it up on two shows.
No, but you have it like in your search history?
Yeah, I remember looking the story up because it's crazy.
But do you remember, like, can you put a date on it or something? Like,
no.
We can figure it out?
No.
Huh.
So, as you know, I was in an illustrious production of Godspell in 1970.
I just want to know if the husband was ever prosecuted.
I'm looking into that now.
All right.
As you know, I was in a very celebrated production of Godspell in 1975.
We're still talking about it.
77.
I mean, still talking about it.
And one of the women in the cast became a sort of a big union leader on Broadway. She was a Broadway. She was many, many seasons at Radio City,
mm-hmm.
Part of the sort of stock group there. And she ended up becoming a union leader on Broadway, and she told me a story about Ann Miller.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, Ann Miller and Mickey Rooney had a show together on Broadway. Remember this?
Mm-hmm.
And Mickey Rooney, according to my friend, is one of the most bitter, horrible humans, mostly because he was furious that he made all those films and mm-hmm. never had any residual or anything for anything he ever did.
Mm-hmm.
He was essentially broke. And so mm-hmm. he was using this Broadway production as a way to make a living and was furious. And Ann Miller apparently had some things going on, and he would sabotage her regularly during the show to try to screw with her. And so Ann Miller would call my friend and complain for like hours at a time. And the story was essentially just that she was saying that here's this national treasure using the C word and the F word and the S, just like mm-hmm. cussing like a maniac about how much she hated Mickey Rooney. Not that anybody knows who the hell we're talking about, by the way.
Well, Gary's, if he didn't have enough to do. I'm still confused. I was talking about that with Garagos?
Well, maybe it was about the laws around domestic violence or something.
I don't remember bringing up Ann Miller, but if I didn't bring it up here,
I've been dreading you bringing up this particular Loveline episode because I hated it so much.
Gary, is it possible? Sometimes what Gary does is he sits in the community room and I'll shout something to Chris and Gary will hop on the computer and pop it up before Chris does. Is that may be where the Ann Miller look from the lunchroom?
You're not wrong. That has happened in the past.
Mm-hmm.
I seem to remember being in this specific room when I heard it, but I could my memory could
be memory is notoriously inaccurate. So
I think that's what it was. I think I came in and told Chris to look it up, and then you looked it up.
Right.
Same computer.
I do frequently look up stuff that you tell others to look up just because I'm interested and know it might come up in other
shows. I think that's what it is because I didn't get into it here with you, and I didn't get into it with Gargos, and so
In all my searching, it does not appear that anything happened to the husband.
I want to get back to what I was saying about that age group.
You can find, same episode, Ann Miller coming into the dining room after everyone is, the staff is just sort of cleaning up. I find her character was almost like from SNL. It's just this huge smile all the time and like jet black hair and
ridiculous.
Bright red rouge, you know.
But that generation valued those sorts of affectations.
Right. They loved it. Wearing stuff that wasn't age appropriate at all with like these weird leggings, you know, and tap dancing. And
it was all uncomfortable to watch, frankly.
Right.
Yeah.
But you can kind of see what she does. It's the first part of the first part. She's all in red and blah, blah, blah.
It's just weird.
But there were, showmen. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like they needed that.
That's what she was. They just put it on film for a while.
Right.
You know, they made films out of it.
All right. Well, let's talk to Amanda, who's 44, Virginia Beach. Amanda.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
Hi, girl.
Guys, I'm going to try and stay calm because I've been crying a lot these past 2 days. Let me tell you guys a little bit about what's going on. I have a 15-year-old daughter who was going through some severe anxiety and depression. We had not gotten her with a psychiatrist or anything yet. We were trying to, but everybody was so booked until the end of the year. Yeah. So we took her to a local behavioral therapy place. They were going to do a 24 to 48 evaluation, and that if we wanted to pick her up and get her, that we could. And we went back the next day to get our daughter, and they took our daughter from us. They won't give her back, and I don't know what to do.
Okay, well, it's not like they are holding her there for no reason, right? It's not a prison.
Well,
they're obliged to hold on to people, particularly young people, who continue to have thoughts of self-harm. So the probability...
And she did.
What's that?
And she did.
Right.
I mean,
so they're obliged to keep her. They're obliged to keep her for 14 days, so long as that all continues. And at 14 days... Well, first of all, after 72 hours, they'll bring in a judge, and the judge will determine whether or not she should stay in the hospital longer. There's a procedure to all this.
Why do you process this, Amanda, like they took our daughter from us? Why do you?
Well, because they lied to us about so many different things. They misrepresented her. My daughter called me that night and said that she spoke to the psychiatrist. And my daughter, I have to tell you, she's a dream. I mean, she's the most honest, highest moral. Her behavior is amazing. That's what was very shocking to us, that she was having problems to begin with. But she tells me, she's like, Mom, you know, I'm honest with the psychiatrist and the psychiatrist. You know, I'm telling him about my future and everything that I want to do. And the psychiatrist looked at me and said, well, if you don't stay here, that's not going to happen.
Right, because you won't live. They're trying to save her life so she can do all those things.
What's in it for them to keep your daughter
for no
beyond
reason.
Her will and yours as well?
For no reason whatsoever.
Or no reason.
I can't understand it. I mean, they told us we would be able to get her if we wanted to. Like, I don't know. I mean, for me, I'm just in this point where I feel like it's almost like they just want to use our insurance for 7 days or however long it is that they can keep her. Yeah, I mean, it just was that they never told me that I would never, I mean, be able to go up there and not be able to get my daughter back. I mean, they filed a temporary detainment order on my daughter.
Well, right, but it's not never. It's a number of days.
Until
right?
she stabilizes psychiatrically, yes, up to 14 days.
But what do you think about it? I mean, they called us today and wanted to, you know, about medicating her. I don't know that I'm even okay with that.
Well, then they'll keep holding her.
Well, what is, I don't, first off, I know your daughter's a dream, but why did you bring her there in the first place?
Well, like I said, she was having some problems with some anxiety and depression. Which I'm assuming a lot of kids have gone through with being at home with COVID.
All right, hold on. Amanda's one of these people, you know, so listen to this. She went to go pick up her daughter. They wouldn't give her back. Now they're going to keep her forever, essentially. And then she's a dream. She's the greatest. She had some issues with anxiety and depression, which all kids do. Right. But you took her to a facility. This Amanda is part of what we're going through. It's kind of what I talk about all the time. Like, I don't, how are you processing what's going on around you? Your processing is your daughter was taken and kept.
Kidnapped.
And she's not going to be given back.
Right.
But it's not a realistic way. You brought her there. Presumably they saw something. Now, to be fair, they may be, you know, fault, you know, they may be on the side of overcautious, let's say, because they have a liability.
There's a caution that comes from liability, because kids that talk like this girl talks go leave the hospital and kill themselves.
Right. But so here's the thing, Amanda. You there?
Uh-huh.
You're going to get your daughter back. You'll get her back sooner than later. There's going to be some protocol. What I'm saying to you is, beyond getting hysterical and sort of couching this as they're keeping my daughter and they're not going to give her back, and, you know, she had some, you know, anxiety like everyone does. Let's try to get a little more realistic about what is going on.
She wouldn't have been admitted. She would not have been admitted if she had simple anxiety.
My
like
daughter
everyone does.
Has some anxiety, yeah, and some depression.
You have to meet criteria for admission first. Then you have to meet criteria for the hold second. And then when the judge comes in, and the judge is there to represent the patient to get them out, and the evidence suggests that it's too dangerous, that's on the judge. That's because that's what's happening.
Right. So I would just say, Amanda, it doesn't make it completely fair, but there is a context here that we should keep our eye on. And now you're just going to have to – don't go in sweeping generalities and, you know, don't set your hair on fire.
They're trying
just
to help.
Going through
they're
the procedure to get your daughter back, and they're trying to help. All right, Drew, go ahead and do your business over
all
there.
Right. Our friends at ZipRecruiter, of course. There's things you got to choose for yourself, so you know you got to, you know, get the best steak, the best match, the best cars. What if you could do that with hiring? Choose your ideal candidate before they apply. ZipRecruiter's invite to apply lets you pick favorites from top candidates. That's right. Right now you can try it free. It's ziprecruiter.com/ADS. Just post a job on ZipRecruiter. Then they will send you the most qualified people. Then you just review the candidates and invite your top choices to apply. Lauren Webb, SVP, Senior Vice President of Talent Acquisition for Mindula Health, says, quote, "We have a much higher follow-through rate. If I invite candidates, it's easy for me and it's easy for them." ZipRecruiter.com/ADS. Right, Matt?
See for yourself. Just go to this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/ADS. And you'll try ZipRecruiter for free there. That's ZipRecruiter.com/ADS. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
All right, go to AdamCarolla.com for all the live shows. Me and Rob Riggle going to be at the Brea Improv. There you go. For matinee show. Do that coming up this week, this Saturday. Go to AdamCarolla.com. Lots of live shows all over the place. And you can check out our Chassis channel on Pluto TV. Chassis, Chassy, by the way. A lot of free stuff there. I think it's 687. What do you got, Drew?
It's all at drdrew.com, drdrew.tv. Check out the streaming shows there and follow me on social at Dr. Drew and at Dr. Drew Pinsky on Instagram.
So, till next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.